Afternoon, we're going to continue to study our study through the book of 2 Chronicles, and we'll be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 29 this afternoon. We looked at two kings that really did not follow the Lord, and the last king we looked at was Ahaz. Ahaz, one of the worst kings that was in the nation, that ruled over the nation of Judah. Ahaz identified with all of the false gods of the Syrians. He also introduced again Baal worship into Israel. He desecrated the temple. You name it, and he did it. And God judged him. He didn't only rule for a very short period of time. But I want to tell you that simply because you have an ungodly father doesn't mean that you have to be ungodly. Ahaz's son rules in his stead, and his son was one of the most godly kings that Israel had. And his name was Hezekiah. And Hezekiah came to rule when Ahaz died. Hezekiah was a young man, like his father. As a young man. And simply being young doesn't mean you have to be foolish. You can seek wisdom from God even as a young person. And Hezekiah did. He did some amazing things immediately upon being made king of Israel. We're going to be looking at some of those things today. There's more written about Hezekiah than just about any other king than David in the scriptures. Hezekiah has got a fairly long account in 2 Chronicles. He's got a long account in Kings. He's also got quite an extensive reference in the book of Isaiah, because Isaiah was the prophet during the time of Ahaz and Hezekiah. And I failed to mention on Wednesday night, I said that Ahaz didn't have a godly counselor. Well, he didn't have a counselor like Jehoiada that had counseled Uzziah Joaz during his whole life. But he did have a godly prophet in Isaiah that was living. And there, we didn't look at the verses, but there are some verses in Isaiah where Isaiah does confront Hezekiah's father, Ahaz. And Ahaz doesn't want to listen to him. And doesn't listen to him. So he wasn't totally without godly counsel, but he chose to go in direct opposite to it. Hezekiah listened to Isaiah, and we're going to be taking a look at beginning at chapter 29, verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. So, pause. I want you to see that Hezekiah was fairly young, 25 years old. Today, you couldn't be the leader of our nation at 25. But Hezekiah was a little bit older than his father had been when his father came to rule. He was still a young man. And he did rule just about twice as long as his father ruled. Verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. I want you to see there too, he's one of the few kings of Judah that says, he did everything that was right in the sight of the Lord according to David his father had done. There was others that said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not totally according to David. And they would do that which was partially right, but then they'd allow the high places to stand. Or they'd do that which was partially right, but they would still worship false gods. Hezekiah did all that was right in the eyes of the Lord according to David. And the thing that separated David from the rest of the kings of Israel is David never, ever worshipped a different god. He never allowed false worship to enter into his kingdom when he was ruling, and he did not establish anything that resembled pagan worship at all. And you're going to see that Hezekiah is very similar to David in that respect. Verse 3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Remember, what did his father Ahaz done? His father Ahaz had desecrated the house of the Lord. His father Ahaz had taken all the instruments of worship out of the house of the Lord and either totally removed them or made them, cut them up and made them into something that God did not tell him to do. He just totally desecrated God's house and worship, and then he introduced all kinds of false worship systems alongside of God's worship. And I want you to see what kind of a person Hezekiah is. He didn't sit there and go, well, I better put my finger in the air and see what the people think, or I better rule for a while, see if it's all right for me to do this, or I better pull my, like some of his predecessors did, pull all the princes of the land together and get their input. Remember, there was a king who did that and pulled all the princes together and they said, let's go out and worship false gods. And so they set up false places of worship all around the kingdom of Israel, of Judah. He didn't do any of that. In the first year, he immediately began to rule righteously, and the first thing he does is repair the temple. Now, why was it significant that he repaired the temple? He repairs the temple even before he goes out and starts destroying the places of false worship, which we'll see in a little while he does. Because the temple was where the people were to gather and focus on God. God had set up the tabernacle in the wilderness and then the temple in Jerusalem, where it was to be the focus of the people, that the Lord was there and with them, and they were to come for the feasts of Israel. Everyone was to come to, first they would gather around the tabernacle in the wilderness, and it told you exactly how they did that when we went through the book of Exodus, and Moses built the tabernacle, told you how, which tribes were on which side of the tabernacle, and they gathered for worship. Well, in the temple, they were to gather and all were to come to worship on the three main feasts of Israel at the temple. And the focus was to be on God. And it was to show the people that God was in the midst of them. And he was there, the one that they were to worship. And he was the one that would give them direction to their lives. And that he was the true and the living God. And so for Hezekiah, at 25 years of age, to see that the most important thing that he needed to do was restore the temple, because if he restored the temple, that was the main focus for the people to have a proper understanding of who God was, of his holiness and righteousness, and their need to once again focus upon him. But we're going to see it's not going to stop there. He's going to repair it. And so how does he do this? He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. I want you to see something very important. He says it's not just enough to go in and start cleaning house. But you need to examine yourself first and sanctify yourselves. In other words, set yourselves apart for God's work and examine your hearts and realize you're to be about what God has called you to do. What were the Levites responsible for? The Levites were responsible for leading the nation of Israel in spiritual worship of the Lord. And then we see this specifically, the sons of Aaron, and there were different branches of the sons of Aaron that had different responsibilities in the temple for the temple worship. But the Levites as a whole had been set apart, And the Levites had cities with suburbs by other cities throughout all the rest of the land of Israel. And part of their responsibility was to keep the focus of the Israelites on God. And so he's calling the Levites to remember what their purpose is. And it begins with them having a proper relationship with the Lord. You can't clean up the physical house of the Lord if you don't have your own heart in order. And so he tells them, sanctify yourselves, and then I want you to go and sanctify the temple. Now, why did he want the temple sanctified? Because it had been desecrated by his father Ahaz. And it had been so desecrated, all of that was to be taken out. And all of the things that desecrated the temple and the proper instruments replaced. He says, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. You stop and think about it. The people, they didn't rise up against Ahaz when he was doing all of this. Go back and remember when we studied on Wednesday night about Ahaz. He set up all these high places and these false places for people to bring and offer sacrifices all over Jerusalem. He set up high places and throughout the land that is of Judah. And the people went there and worshiped. They willfully went to the false gods and worshiped. They didn't rise up and say, we're not doing this, Ahaz. But they went and did it. And what Hezekiah acknowledges, his real problem wasn't just his father. The real problem was all the people of Judah. The vast majority of the people, there were a few that didn't. Isaiah didn't rise up. Some of the other prophets that were there with Isaiah didn't rise up and worship the false gods. I'm sure there were other people, but the vast majority of the people did. And he said, we have sinned and rebelled, and we need to get, the people need to repent. They've trespassed and done that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. I remember back when President Biden was inaugurated, and as he was driving on his inauguration, all of the military that were there turned their backs on him. And it was a sign of total disrespect. Well, that was just from a human perspective. He's saying the whole nation of Judah had turned their backs on God. In other words, we totally disrespect you. We totally not honoring you at all. And he says, that is real evil. And so he said, also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. In other words, they had disassembled and prevented and stopped all the true worship. And Ahaz was the leader, but the priests followed, and the people followed the priests. And everybody had done it together because Ahaz could not have done it himself. Remember during when Uzziah was king and he tried to go in and offer incense, which wasn't his responsibility. The priest stood and tried to prevent him from doing it and said, this is not for you to do. This is our responsibility. Ahaz came in and he had his people go in and desecrate the whole temple. Nobody stood up and said, you can't do this. They were in cahoots with him. And so he says, this has all happened. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble and to astonishment and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. Now what was the trouble and astonishment and hissing? Well, all of the false pagan worship all around, which was really worshiping the gods of the Syrians and the Zidonians and the Canaanites and everybody else that was around them, that were ungodly people. But also, if you go back and remember what happened during the time of Ahaz, all these nations rose up against Israel. Remember the Syrians came, and the Edomites came, and the Philistines came, and they all came against Israel. And the Philistines captured some of the cities in western Israel. And we see that then Ahaz went and tried to get the Assyrian king to come and help him. And then he went and tried to go to Egypt. I mean, he was going everywhere but to God. And ultimately, all these problems came upon them. And we went over a lot of those problems on Wednesday night. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Why did God allow the enemies of Israel to come against them, and why did he allow them to be overrun? Why did he allow Ahaz to take the gold? Remember, he took the gold from the temple, and he took gold from his own house and gave it to these pagan leaders to help them, and then they didn't help him anyway. And the thing is, he never called on the Lord, and the people didn't call on the Lord. And so they suffered judgment. Part of the judgment, they were taken into captivity. My sons, be not negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. Now he's speaking again to the priests and the Levites. He's saying, don't be negligent of your duties, but take your responsibilities seriously, because God has placed upon you a special calling and purpose. And that is to set the direction for Judah. You're to set the spiritual direction. You're to be the ones out leading the worship. You're to be the ones burning the incense. You're to be the ones that are there to offer the sacrifices and to lead the people in the worship of the Lord and direct them to go to the Lord. Then he says, then the Levites arose, Nahath the son of Amittai, and Joel the son of Azariah, and the sons of the Kohathites, and the sons of Meraiah, and Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehalel, of the Gershonites, and Joah, the son of Jama, and Eden, the son of Joah. And the sons of Elisathan, and Shimri, and Jael, and of the sons of Asaph, and Zechariah, and Mattaniah, and the sons of Helaman, and Jehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Judathun, and Shemaiah, and Uziel. And they gathered the brethren, and sanctified themselves, and came according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. I want you to see, can one man make a difference? The answer is yes. And can people who listen to the truth and respond to the truth make a difference? The answer is yes. Hezekiah was one man that saw the burden of bringing the Lord back to the center of Judah. A young man, a man whose father was very ungodly, whose grandfather was not as ungodly as his son, but still didn't do everything right. And Hezekiah didn't miss one beat, but the first thing he does when he comes to power is say, we're going to get this mess cleaned up. And the only way you can do it is go to the Lord. And how do I go to the Lord? But I get God's people to get their eyes back on God and understand their calling and what they're supposed to do. In our nation, that's really what we need to do too, is God's people need to get their eyes back on the Lord and ask Him for His help and direction and guidance that we can get the things that have been so destroyed in our land back the right way, but it begins by sanctifying ourselves. I want you to see what it says that the Levites did, and all those men that I named and those that were with them. They sanctified themselves. They went to the Lord and they called on Him. They confessed their sin. They asked God, set us apart for Your purpose and work. And they sought to sanctify themselves before the Lord. And then they went in and cleaned the temple. Once they were right with God, they went in and did that which God desired for them to do. And they gathered the brethren and sanctified themselves and came in according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it and to carry it into out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now, the significance of that, the Kidron Valley, the brook Kidron runs between the Mount of Olives and Mount Zion, where the Temple Mount is. It's on the east side, and you see there's the Kidron Valley there. The Kidron Valley really became a place where it was a kind of a dump ground, and where things would be burned and destroyed. And so we see that they took that, all of the wickedness that was in the house of God, off the Temple Mount, out and put it in the Kidron Valley where it would be destroyed. And it would no longer have a place on the Temple Mount where the temple was. Now they begin the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. So they took them a very short period of time to go through and totally clean out all the wicked things that were in the house of God, to cleanse it and to restore it the way that God had commanded it to be done. What Ahaz had done is he said, there's many ways to come to God. There's not just one. Look it, we can come by the Syrian gods. As a matter of fact, he thought the Syrian gods were better than Yahweh, the true and the living God. But really what he had said is there's many things that we can, many ways we can worship, many gods we can worship. Hezekiah said, no, there's not. There's only one way to come to God, and that's on God's terms and God's way. And they cleansed the temple, and everything was put back. Now, what was everything in the temple? We'll probably have to pick this up on Wednesday night here because we're getting short on time. But the thing is, what they did is when they put the temple back in order, everything that had been done when God established the temple worship was pointing to Jesus. When Ahaz came in and desecrated the temple, he said, oh, you don't have to listen to God. You don't have to go to God through His way, which is Jesus. You can go by My way. And Hezekiah is saying, no, you can't. You can only come to God on God's terms. There's only one way to come to the Lord, and that's through Jesus, His Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. There are no other ways. And the temple worship was all pointing to the ultimate sacrifice that would be made by Jesus Christ when He was hanging on the cross, shed His blood for our sins, be buried and rise again from the dead, conquering death and sin on our behalf, that you and I could be forgiven and brought into a proper relationship with the Lord, and we are to come and worship God on His terms, not ours. And that's what Hezekiah began to do, and that's what these men did, and they did it in short order. What had taken a number of years for Ahaz to desecrate, they cleaned up in just a matter of days. And we understand that if we turn to the Lord, God can give us the ability to share the gospel, and people's lives can be transformed It doesn't take years. It's a matter of a moment of them giving their heart and life to the Lord, and the transformation begins. And we realize the cleansing of the temple was a sign of what needs to happen in the hearts of men. Where they give their lives to God and get rid of all of the wickedness and evil that enslaves them. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us as we begin to look at what Hezekiah does to transform the land of Judah from one that was an abomination to you to one that became a nation that looked to you for help in the time of trouble, that looked to you to worship and praise, and that understood that apart from you, there is no hope. Lord, be with us now, and may we begin to have an attitude like Hezekiah. And many of us are much older than he was, but may we start today to have that type of attitude that he possessed in seeking to be sanctified to the Lord, and that he would be exalted and uplifted. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 589. 589.